Father, we thank you today that you're here in our midst, that your Spirit has been here. You've delivered answers. You've delivered solutions already, and there's more to come. Amen? There's more to come. Lord, open our ears, open our eyes to see your provision and to see where you're leading us, Holy Spirit. We just thank you for giving us discernment and keen understanding today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to do a quick review of where we've been at. If you haven't been with us for this series, we do post our messages online. It's befellowship.org. You can go to our website. It's on the back of the Thompson's t-shirts here. Got the logo on the back there, befellowship.org. And Nancy, I see official t-shirts everywhere today. You go to our website and you can click on the messages. We've been doing a series on the power tools of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The nine gifts of the Spirit. And it took us 3 weeks to get through the first one, 2 weeks to get through the second one. And last week we wound up the idea about the word of wisdom. Do you remember? Amen. Some of you do. All right. The word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom, we said, talks about people's future. The word wise comes from the Old Norse, like the Nordic people, the Vikings. It comes from the Old Norse language. The word visa, it's everywhere you want to be, right? And visa means to show the way. So the word wise means to show the way. So the word of wisdom reveals to people the way that they're going to be going, the way that God has laid out for them to go. It reveals the purposes and plans that God has for people's way, for their future. Amen? And some of that was released this morning as we prayed for Brenda. The Holy Spirit spoke through us about the way that she should go. The Holy Spirit in us brings, we said this, he brings solutions. I like that word, solutions. Everywhere you go, you carry solutions. Did you know that? Okay? Even before the gift gets released, even before you speak a word, when you walk into the room, when you walk into Walmart, when you walk onto the job site, you and I carry solutions. His name is Jesus. Amen? And he comes through knowledge, wisdom, discerning of spirits, amen, gifts of healing, gift of working of miracles. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit are solutions to the needs of humanity. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be my witnesses. He said, he did not say, then you'll do witnessing. He said, you'll be my witnesses. See, we're focused on the doing. Jesus says, I just want you to be. When you walk in the room, you just be healing bread for somebody that's in need. You just be wisdom to show the way that people should go. You just be a word of knowledge to quicken someone's heart. Gnosko, we said, and the word of knowledge is the Greek word which means face-to-face, intimate knowledge. Gnosko reveals to someone God knows and God cares. So when you walk in the room, all these things are in you when you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's why Jesus said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can be my witness. Listen, saints, the truth is we can't preach people into the kingdom. They need to see power. The Apostle Paul said the kingdom of God doesn't come with word only. It comes with demonstration and with power. So we need the Holy Ghost. You may not think you need it, but 12 men that Jesus discipled for 3.5 years, day and night, night and day, he looked at them and said, you don't have enough. I'm amazed at how often the church bucks the system. I'm amazed at how often believers buck the system. Jesus says, when you get saved, you should be water baptized. And people say, well, I don't think that's for me. What? Who said this? Jesus, the Master. People get saved and they say, I don't know about that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't know about the speaking in tongues thing. I don't know about this healing and miracles things for today. What? Jesus said, this is the only way you'll be a witness. Is when the Holy Spirit's in you and on you and coming out your ears.
That's right.
That's how you'll be a witness for me. Amen?
Amen?
He's the resurrected Lord. And the only way Jesus, the only way lost people see that Jesus has risen from the dead is when you and I walk in power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
I'm getting to preaching. Well, it's interesting that Paul, in the description of these gifts of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12, in the context of him talking about the nine different gifts, and that's, again, that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he also talks in that chapter about the different parts of the body. He uses the analogy of the foot, the hand, the eye. Remember that? Okay? And all different body parts. And he says there, he says, you all, basically his point is you need one another. You see, I'm incomplete in a sense without the rest of the body. I may be a big toe, I may be a little toe, I may be a knuckle. Whatever I am in the body of Christ, I need the rest of the body to complete me. Amen. Again, that's why I come to church. I don't have all the answers. It's been many times I've been in services and I've been hungry, thirsty for the answers. And a man of God, a woman of God will prophesy over me, declare a word over me, and I go, whoa, there's what I needed. Why? Because they're the other part of the body that I needed. Amen? So remember that in 1 Corinthians 12, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, he also talks in context about the parts of the body, reminding us, you need the body. Amen? Say, I need the body. The body of Christ. Now, today we're going to talk about the gift of discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. This is the third of the revelation gifts. We've talked about word of knowledge. We've talked about word of wisdom. Today we're going to cover the discerning of spirits. And I want to mention to you that within these three revelation gifts, everything of the realm of knowledge is covered. Everything that could be known, that's possible to be known in the realm of knowledge, is covered within these three revelation gifts. Think about that for a moment. God's got it all covered. When we talk about the Lord, we say he's omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. Omni. All. Right? He's got it all covered. So here's a few descriptive words that talk about what these three revelation gifts cover. They cover facts. They cover events. They cover purposes and motives. Natural, supernatural. They cover origins and destinies. They cover the past, present, and future. Amen? So when the word of knowledge is in operation, the word of knowledge reveals someone's past, maybe where they're at today. When the word of wisdom is revealed in through a prophet or a prophetess who's speaking under the anointing of the Spirit of God, when they're speaking by the Holy Spirit, they reveal the destinies ahead of a person's life. Amen? And when we talk about discerning of spirits actually reveals in real time. It's like putting on x-ray glasses, like glasses you can see through, you see into a different realm. The discerning of spirits reveals the spirits operating behind a situation or a person. Motivations. Okay? Controlling entities sometimes. Let me give you a few things that the discerning of spirits not, because sometimes it helps us to clearly define something when we say what it's not first, right? And then we can define and narrow it down, kind of distill it down to what it truly is. All right? So number one, the discerning of spirits is not mind reading. It's truly not mind reading. We're not talking about a human brain connecting to another human brain. It's not that. It's not the gift of discernment, which is not actually a gift described in the Bible, by the way. There's no such thing as the gift of discernment. Not at least not written in Scripture that we see. It's not called the gift of discernment. It's called the discerning of spirits. Okay, let's stick with the word. So it's not the gift of discernment. It's not the gift of fault finding. All right? Some people have a special gift they've been given in life. Right? And if they turn that gift on themselves for about 15 seconds, they'd never want to use it again. Right? 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers. Love covers. So Jesus is not about fault finding. Amen? Sometimes people come into a service and they get a little nervy. Like, oh goodness, there's somebody here that moves in the gifts of the Spirit. What's God going to say to him about me? Don't worry. God's not out to find your faults. He's not out to expose or humiliate people's hearts. Now, he's out to expose sin and anything that would hold you back from God's highest, but not in an embarrassing way, in a way that builds you up and sets you on the path. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit, let me give you the distilled definition. The discerning of spirits is a supernatural insight into the spirit realm. A supernatural insight. Remember, this is not natural. This is supernatural. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural insight or perception into the spirit realm. And it reveals things of good spirits. It reveals bad spirits, whatever spirit is in operation. For example, if someone sees an angel, we're in a church service worshiping, and someone sees an angel in the room, that is a gift at that moment to open their eyes to enable them to see a spirit, a good spirit. It's not always about bad spirits. Angels are good spirits, amen? We want to see them when we need to, all right? We're not chasing after angels. We're chasing after Jesus. But when God opens our eyes and we see an angel, now, I want to differentiate because the Bible says in Hebrews, be hospitable to everybody, because some have done this and without being aware, they've entertained angels. That's a different story. When that angelic come, person comes across your path, you don't know they're an angel.
That's right.
You just think you're being good to another human being. And there are visitations that people have had where they've had angels come across their path, and God's given them an opportunity to be nice to or be hospitable to an angel, but they didn't know it. That's not what we're talking about with discerning spirits. When you put on the x-ray glasses of the Holy Ghost and you operate in the discerning spirits, you see the angel for what he is.
That's right.
And some people that have described angels have seen beings that are anywhere from 12 to 50 feet tall or bigger. Big, big, big. They're big in the spirit. And when you see them as they truly are, that's discerning of spirits. Amen? You're perceiving into the spirit realm that which nobody else sees. You with me? Okay. So it reveals good spirits, and sometimes people have seen demonic spirits. Someone will walk across your path, and you see them, and you see this spirit attached to their life, or attached to their mind, or attached to their body. Sometimes men who have ministered in the gifts of healing, they have seen spirits attached to people's body because that's where the disease came from. Not every disease comes from a spirit of infirmity, but sometimes it does. And sometimes ministers will see with their, Holy Ghost eyes, they'll see that spirit that is actually producing that disease or that situation in someone's life. So it reveals good spirits and bad spirits. Now, the idea of discerning simply means to see it. When we say you discern a spirit, we mean that you are simply seeing it clearly for what it is. It's limited in scope. This gift is a little more limited than the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in that it only reveals spirits. It does not reveal purposes. It does not reveal backgrounds of people. Again, that's why it's not mind reading. If God opens your eyes and you're talking to someone and you see a weird demonic spirit hovering over them, God gives you discerning of spirits. All you see is that spirit. You don't know what that spirit's been producing in their life. You don't know their background. You don't know their future. It's a very limited gift, but there are times when the Holy Spirit says, I need to release this gift on somebody for a certain purpose. Okay? So when it's, just remember this, when you need it, it'll be there. Okay? If we don't need to see angels, then we won't. If we don't need to see a demon, thank God we won't. Amen? But when you need to see it for a certain purpose to get a job done, that's why we call this series Power Tools. Power Tools help us get a job done. And when you and I need to see into the spirit realm to see what's in operation, what's motivating people, or what's motivating a situation, we'll see it. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, as He wills, He will release these gifts into us to see what we need to see. Amen? So just know that. When you need to see it, it'll be there. Now, you're in Acts chapter 16, right? All right. We would get there eventually. Acts chapter 16. Let's look at verse 16 there. This is an example in the New Testament of someone operating in the discernment of spirits. Acts 16:16 says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit. You note that phrase, had a spirit. You don't want to have a spirit. Just a word of advice. You don't want to have a spirit. You want to have the Holy Spirit, but you don't want to host a spirit, little s, right? So, but she had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Did you know that fortune telling, oftentimes, if it's really, producing results, it's because that person has a spirit. You do know that, right? That's why we don't go to fortune tellers. They've got a spirit that's helping them produce that. And she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to what?
Spirit.
Not to the girl. To the Spirit. He said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. And when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. Those that are persecuting Christians will always kind of sound civil or religious in their efforts, right? And that's what they're doing. They're messing with our customs. No, they're just shaking up your income is what they're doing, right? So these spirits had left this girl, their spirit, and Paul had drove it out. Now, I want to point out to you that it doesn't tell us here whether Paul actually saw the spirit. Okay, it doesn't really specifically tell us in this story whether he saw the spirit behind her, but he knew it. And sometimes the word of knowledge will tell you there's a demon in this person. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. You'll think I'm trying to point a finger at you. Sometimes you will know it by a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit will say that person's being driven by a demon, or that person's possessed by a demon. But it doesn't tell us in this particular instance whether Paul saw the spirit in the girl, but he knew something's driving her. And, you know, anyone else without as much operation of the Holy Spirit in their life might have actually hired her to become their PR manager, you know, some dummy. But, you know, these men are men of God, you know. No, there's a spirit behind this person. We need to deal with that spirit, okay? So, let's look at another example in the Old Testament where someone actually did see the Spirit. Again, because in this case, we don't know if he actually saw it or knew by a word of knowledge. But in either case, he discerned what was driving her, and he dealt with it. Look over in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. This is a really overlooked story, but it's a very clear. I asked the Lord yesterday, I said, you know, Lord, has anybody ever seen the devil? And then it's like the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this story in Zechariah 3. And clearly this situation reveals what was going on. Now, Zechariah was a prophet. He was a young prophet who lived during the time when Israel, after they had been taken away to Babylon in their captivity, after they had fallen into idolatry and they'd been taken into exile, then years later God allowed them to come back to their land and rebuild their temple. Okay, that's a little bit of background. And Zechariah was one of the prophets that encouraged the people, follow God, let's rebuild this temple, let's get the job done. Okay, so that's what his book is about. It's Zechariah the prophet. And look in chapter 3, he showed me, this is Zechariah talking, he said, God showed me Joshua the high priest. Now this is not Joshua of the Old Testament book of Joshua. You understand there was more than one Joshua, okay? It's a popular name. So this is Joshua, a person named Joshua, who at that time was the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Okay, so Zechariah is actually seeing a vision of the Lord and the devil standing at this high priest's right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Notice that the devil has gone silent at this moment. The Lord has said that the angel of the Lord has said, the Lord rebuke you. Now I want to point out something. In the New Testament, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority. So we don't have to use this phrase, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Guess who rebukes him? When the authority of the Lord is in your mouth through the word of God, you rebuke the devil. Amen? We don't have to say the Lord rebuke you. We tell him. Because when the authority of the word is in your mouth, it's just as if Jesus were saying it to him directly. See, there's been a shift in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Amen? But here under the Old Covenant, the angel said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And by verse 3, he's quiet. You know, we don't hear any more about the devil, right? Because it worked. Joshua dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. Verse 4, the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin. I have put rich garments on you. Then I said, this is Zechariah talking, I said, put a clean turban on his head. In other words, don't forget the mind. Sometimes the accuser comes in our life, and what's he after? Our thoughts. That's right. Get you to accuse yourself. And here at this moment, the prophet standing back, he's seeing this vision through the discerning spirits. He sees the angel. He sees the devil. He sees Joshua standing there clothed in filthy rags. And he says, while you're at it, go ahead and put a clean turban on his head too. Deal with his conscience. You got me? Okay. The angel of the Lord, verse 5. They put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. I will give you a place among those standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you who are men of symbolic things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Notice the word branch is capitalized. Every now and then these prophets would just be talking, all of a sudden, Jesus would just come out of their mouth. And this is one of those moments. He's talking about Joshua, he's talking about them removing filthy clothes, the devil's been rebuked, and all of a sudden, the branch. Jesus just popped out there. You'll see this all through the Old Testament, everywhere. That's why we read through the Bible in a year, okay? We want to read every place we can see a glimpse of Jesus. And Zechariah's prophesying here, and all of a sudden he talks about the branch. That's Jesus. Verse 9, "See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord. I will remove the sin of this land in a single day." There again, the prophet's talking about a single day. When did in one day the sin of Israel be removed? When did that happen? This is an open book test. Come on. The cross. Calvary. In one day God removed the sin of his people. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's a glimpse of Calvary right there. Verse 10, "In that day each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree." In other words, you'll have prosperity in your life, declares the Lord Almighty. Wow, I could just go on and on. Isn't that good? But I love this example. This is an Old Testament example, no less, okay, where someone had eyes to see through the discerning of spirits. Remember I told you early on in the series, seven of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit were in operation all the time in the Old Testament. We see them on a regular basis. The only two that were not mentioned in the Old Testament were speaking in tongues and the interpretation of a message in tongues, because no one had been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. The day of Pentecost hadn't come. Okay, but the other seven gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and what's the sixth? Oh, gifts of faith. I'm sure I left one or two off. But anyways, the other seven gifts were there, all right, all along in the Old Testament. And this is one example. Okay, where are we at? Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, back in the New Testament. This is one of the more prominent and more significant moments when the gift of discerning spirits was in operation. It's a biggie. I don't want to label it that, but in my mind I think of the Mount of Transfiguration as a biggie. It was one of those biggie events. They're all significant in the Bible, but this is one of the biggies. Matthew 17. Go ahead and turn there. Okay. All right, are you there? Matthew 17. Matthew 17, we'll read verses 1 through 9. "After 6 days," stop. That's very significant. If you believe the genealogy described in the Bible from Genesis forward, there's been about 6,000 years on the earth, historically, that man's had lease of the earth, if you will. Six is a very significant number. It's the number of who? Man. Six is the number of man. After 6 days, this story takes place. It unfolds. And what does this story reveal? And the next line is going to show us. "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them." In other words, Jesus was revealed after 6 days. People have said that, you know, the earth is about 6,000 years old. We're about to step into day 7, a time when Jesus will be revealed. Amen? Just a little personal end-time prophecy kind of mentioned there. All right. "He was transfigured before them," verse 2, "his face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as the light, and just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" So Peter, James, and John are seeing what? First of all, they're seeing Jesus transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His eyes became as white as the light. That's discerning of spirits. He's seeing Jesus for who he truly is, right? That's a revealing by the Holy Spirit of Jesus in his true divine nature. And he's also seeing 2 other characters, very significant characters, Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets. Amen. Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. Seeing either one of those people in today's world would be like the equivalent of an Elvis Presley sighting. Okay? It's a biggie. "I saw Moses. I saw Elijah." You follow me? Okay, this is a big event in their day. That would have been like, you know, Moses was the man. Elijah was the prophet. And these guys, their eyes have been opened and they're seeing Jesus on the mountain, and Moses and Elijah are with him there, and they see them. Discerning of spirits. Sweet on. Verse 5, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him,'" or "hear ye him," in the King James it says. "And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said, 'don't be afraid.' And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus." They saw no one except Jesus. And Jesus was back to normal, as we would say, back to his normal fleshly human expression, if you will, as compared to this transfigured, you know, glorious light shining thing that they just saw that knocked them to their face. Okay, so this is a big example in the New Testament of someone who's operating. And again, these men weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. The day of Pentecost had not come yet. They hadn't been born again yet. But at times, boom, again, it happened in the Old Testament. It happened here. Men saw into the spirit realm. What is that? It's discerning of spirits. It's seeing spirits. Okay, let's take away the big word. Let's just say it's seeing into the spirit realm. And that's what happened in this story. Now look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter, years later, when he writes his books to the church, he describes this incident personally. And here's his commentary on it. I want to read these verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to wind this down. 2 Peter 1:16. 2 Peter 1:16 says this, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" That's the story we just read about in Matthew 17. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 18, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." That's a mouthful, okay? I want you to look up here on the screen. We're going to read it in the, this is in the Passion Translation, TPT. All right, this is what Peter says. Let's just look at it slowly. "And so we have been given the prophetic word, the written message of the prophets, made more reliable and fully validated by the confirming voice of God on the Mount of Transfiguration." What he's saying there is that everything that was written in the Old Testament was confirmed when we heard that voice on the mountain. "This is my beloved son." Next. "And you will continue to do well if you stay focused on it." The Bible doesn't tell us to be focused on visions. It doesn't tell us to be focused on angels. It doesn't tell us to be focused on appearances or manifestations. It says to be focused on it, referring to the word, the prophet, the prophetic writings of the Bible. Okay, next. "For this prophetic message is like a piercing light shining in a gloomy place until the dawning of a new day when the morning star rises in your hearts." In other words, he's saying if you'll stay in the word, Jesus will be made more and more clear to you, just like the sun rising, okay? And did you know when he talks about the morning star there in the morning, there's a planet called Venus that comes up in the morning. That's what people refer to as the morning star. It appears it's the second brightest planet, I guess, to the moon. Those of you that are astronomers in here can confirm it, all right? And by the way, in 2011, a pilot from Air Canada was taking a nap, and when he woke up from his nap, He heard that there was a military plane in the airspace near them. Well, he's looking out the window and he sees Venus and he mistakes it as this oncoming airplane. It's so bright. He grabs the stick and this plane lost like 400 feet of altitude immediately. Thankfully, only 14 people are injured. But it was quite an incident. It made the news, and Air Canada, of course, had to do quite a bit of PR work to cover for it. But that's what was happening, was the guy looked out the window and saw Venus or the morning star. It was so bright to him that he thought it was an oncoming plane. A little trivia for you there about Venus, all right? But the Bible says here that as you and I ponder and as we pore over and as we meditate the prophetic writings about Jesus, he will arise in our heart like the morning star. Amen? So Peter says here, basically, in essence, he's saying this. Don't wait on a vision. Don't wait on a Mount of Transfiguration experience. Follow the word. Amen? Stay in the word. Listen to the word. Listen to the prophetic writings, and they will cause the day star to arise in your own heart. Amen? So I just want to counterbalance this. We're talking about discerning of spirits. I want to counterbalance this idea of seeing into the spirit realm. Yes, it's good, but we want to stick to the word of God. Amen? Now, the reality is this. The spirit realm around us is active 24/7. There are angels all around us. There are demons all around us. And there's activity all around us. I have another slide, Alan, if you bring it up, please. John 5:17. Jesus said this. He said, "My Father is always working, and so am I." You know, they were giving Jesus a hard time for doing a healing of a man's blind eyes on the Sabbath. And Jesus said this. He said, "My Father's always working, and so am I." In other words, Jesus, he saw into the spirit realm. He knew what he had to do. He knew when it was time to heal. He knew when it was time to cast out devils. He knew what was going on because he was in tune with the spirit realm. And he said, my Father's always doing stuff, and I'm right there with him. Okay? And so I want to say this about the gifts of the Spirit. That if you and I will tune in, the spirit realm is active around us 24/7. And we know that by the word. Amen? The Bible says his angels, for example, encamp round about us. Well, we don't have to see that to believe that, do we? That's Psalm 91. We believe that angels are around us protecting us day and night.
Amen.
We don't have to have discernment of spirits in operation to believe that. We just accept the word. It's the prophetic writings, like Peter was talking about. We allow the day star to rise in our heart as we believe the word of God, and we stand on the word of God. And there may be moments when we're in danger, when we're in a situation, and God enables us to see our guardian angel in his true self. Right? All 350 pounds, 12 feet of him or whatever, you know, and muscle bound, you know, real big muscles. Mine have real big muscles. They need to. I need it now and then. And but, you know, God will enable you to see it when it's time for you to need to see it.
Amen.
But if you're not seeing it, then simply see it in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
See it in the book. See it in the prophetic writings, even if you don't see it with your eyes. My Father's always working. So the discernment of spirit shows us the realm of the real. The Holy Spirit gave me that phrase. The realm of the real. Because the real realm is in the spirit realm. That's where everything really happens. Right? Paul said we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spirits, principalities, demons, in other words. Fallen angels. And by the way, you never have to be afraid of angels. I mean demons. You never have to be afraid of demons. They're just simply angels who went bad. You with me? They're guys who chose wrong. And in fact, every example you'll ever hear of a minister talking who had an experience where he had discernment of spirits and saw into the demonic realm, they'll always describe him in this sense when the authority of Jesus comes on the scene as like a whipped puppy running out the door, right? Scampering for the door, scampering for the exit. The devils are afraid of the authority that's in you and I. We don't fear devils. When the time's right and we need to see devils or see what's in operation, we'll have the discernment of spirits in operation as a gift from the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to fear them. They're just simply fallen angels.
Right.
Amen? But the spirit realm is the realm of the real. We looked at this example weeks ago where Elijah said, he prayed out loud. He said, Father, open my servant's eyes so he can truly see. And if you had been that servant in that moment, because he was freaking out, he was looking out the window, he saw their city was surrounded by soldiers. And he said, Elijah, we got trouble. And Elijah was just sitting back calmly. He said, open his eyes, Lord. And I'm sure the servant's thinking, my eyes are open. That's why I'm freaking out. You know, I'm seeing this siege around us. And Elijah prays the prayer, and God opens his eyes, and he sees beyond the natural. He sees into the supernatural. He sees the angels. The Bible says he saw chariots and fire, the armies of God. Amen. Well, that settled him down real quick. Discerning the spirits in operation. So he saw into the realm of the real. See, the spirit realm is the realm of the reality that you and I are to live in. It's the realm of the real. Lastly, I want to end with this thought, and then we're going to look at some more examples next week of discernment of spirits, because there is a part two to this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, all these gifts are given for one purpose, and I want to instill in you again this idea. Because when the Holy Spirit gifts are released in us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's to profit withal. Okay? In the King James, in that context, it says, the gifts of the Spirit are given to men to profit withal. Alright? So just know that. When the time is right and God needs to do something to cause you to profit in your endeavor, to profit in where you're moving, you know, that's why Zechariah, when he saw these filthy rags on Joshua the priest, and he saw the devil standing at his right side. What was happening is things had gotten held up. They had been sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And then the whole project got stalled. Well, why did it get stalled? Because the devil was right there at the priest's right hand accusing him. Why was he accusing him? Because the whole reason that Jerusalem and Israel all went into exile was because not only did the people go into idolatry, the leadership went into idolatry. Are you with me? If you read through Jeremiah's readings, which I'm in the book of right now, as I'm getting through the end of the year reading the Bible. Jeremiah says things like, you know, not only were the people unprofitable or the people stumbling after idols, but the priests and prophets were of no good either. So the devil's standing there at Joshua, the priest's right hand, accusing him. You're the whole reason this temple got destroyed in the first place. You know, he's clothed in filthy rags because of the accusations of their country falling in the first place. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that's what stalled the whole building of everything else that was going on. And then later, once that whole thing, when he got clothed with the clean clothes and the new turban, the Bible says they finished the work. They got the temple built. They got done what they needed to get done. The accuser comes to stall us. Right? That's why you stay in the book. So the morning star will arise in your heart. There will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stay in the book. You don't have to have a vision. Jesus does not have to appear to you to tell you how holy you are. Stay in the book and you'll understand how holy you are.
Amen.
And you'll have clean clothes. You'll have a clean turban. You'll get the job done.
That's right.
But I just want to end with that thought that the gifts of the Spirit are to profit with all. When you and I need to move forward in life, when we need to advance in life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be there. Folks, this is why every time we have a special speaker here, I hope you'll make it a priority. You ought to put it on your calendar. Scrap the funeral, scrap the wedding, scrap the this, scrap that. I'm going to be at that church at that moment when that prophet's going to be in the service because I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested in my life so I can profit with all. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, you ought to run. My mom and I were talking this week. And we were laughing about how back in the early 70s, about the time my mom and dad got saved, everywhere they went, every Bible meeting they went to, a full gospel businessman, a glow this, you know, special speaker this, they carried not only their big old, you know, 30-pound Bibles with them, but my mom would carry around this cassette recorder. You remember cassette recorders? When those first came out in the 70s, man, I'm telling you, for charismatic meetings, when the Holy Ghost was moving people, took those records. My mom took her Bible and her tape recorder to church everywhere she went. And we just laughed about that. But, you know, it shows a sign of hunger. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to miss a thing.
That's right.
All right? Nowadays, we have a recorder here on our iPhones. I want to encourage you, anytime we're in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, get this thing out and pull up that voice memo and record what's going on. Record what God's saying to you. Those words can get you down the road. Those words can cause you to advance. Those words can put off filthy rags off your life, spiritually speaking, and clothe you with the righteousness of Jesus. Those words can set you on the right path. Those words can cause the day star to arise in your heart. Amen? So that's the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And anytime they're in operation, you ought to come running. I'm talking about the true gifts of the Holy Spirit. You ought to come running, be on the front row, and be hungry to let the Lord spill over on you for profiting for with all. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Well, let's just close the way we've been closing all along this series and just ask the Holy Spirit to move in us. These gifts are not for the preacher only. They're for all of us to get a job done. And when you leave here, you're entering the combat zone. Okay? You leave here equipped. You're entering the field, if you will. The field of battle. You're stepping onto the game field. Amen? So these gifts that we're talking about are for you, not just for me. You need to see a demon. You need to see an angel when the time is right. And that Holy Spirit gift of discerning the spirits will be there in you. Father, we just thank you that you're here. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit, as we're hearing the word, that faith is arising. And Lord, you said that if we would operate in the gifts of the Spirit, all we had to do was crave, to desire, to long for. And so, Lord, we're asking you to cause these gifts to become active in our lives as needed for the profiting of all. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.